Been good to be here tonight.
Amen.
And I don't want to mess that up. You all pray for me. Lord, let a little thought on my heart this week. Out of Hebrews chapter 9, and we'll ask you to stand. We'll begin reading in verse number 19. We'll just have a little Bible study 101 tonight. How's that sound? Might just testify a little bit. For when Moses had spoken every precept, blood of calf and scarlet wood and hyssop, book, and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he have often suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him without sin unto salvation." Lord, we thank you for the Word of God. Lord, we do ask you tonight that you would help us to stand. God, it is you that called us to preach. And it is your word, Father, that we have in my hand right now. And God, it is your Spirit that lives within my heart since you saved me. And God, I pray that you would take your called servant, your blessed word, and you would have that declared tonight by your Holy Spirit to our hearts, that someone here might receive encouragement, that someone here might receive enlightenment, that someone here, Father, might be blessed to take the Word of God and to glean from its pages. God, I pray tonight, Father, you'd be our helper. For God, I cannot stand alone. I dare not try. But God, tonight we stand leaning, like Sister Summer said earlier, leaning upon you, letting go and letting God take control. And God, we desire that tonight. We need that tonight. Father, we request it in the name of Jesus. And all God's people pray with me and say, Amen. Amen. You be seated tonight, please. In these verses, especially in verses 23 through 28, we see the word appear a couple of different times, at least three times. In verse 24, at the end of the verse, he says, "Now to appear." And then in verse 26, it says, "Hath he appeared?" And then in verse number 28, shall he appear the second time. We see three times the appearances of Christ, and we want to look in this portion of Scripture and preach on the three appearances of Christ out of Hebrews chapter 9, verses 23 through 28. Now, I am not implying that Christ is not presently with us tonight, but there are certainly special times where you must know that there are divine visitations where the Lord just appears and shows Himself. He did that to Paul when he was on the Damascus Road. He did that another time to Paul when he was getting ready to have a shipwreck. Remember there? And another time he's telling him what he's going to do there and about Rome and all these things. And certainly there are divine appearances of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not trying to imply to you tonight that I've seen a resurrected Lord, because certainly I've not physically seen Him, but I see Him by faith. And I believe Him by faith. But I do want to imply tonight that Christ is definitely involved in the affairs of men. And in these verses here, I want to look, first of all, in verse 26, at this appearance in verse 26. And I want to notice where the Bible says, read it again, "For then must He often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath He appeared." Interested in that, "hath He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself." His appearance here in verse 26 notes His redeeming power. How He was able to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Now certainly it makes a comment here about now once in the end of the world, and I think that needs to be addressed. We are living in the last days, I believe. And there are dispensations. Brother Ray Casper preached a wonderful message here in the pulpit about dispensationalism and going through dispensations of church ages and church times. But tonight I am very, very interested in Hebrews chapter 1, speaking about last days. Let me show in Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 2, that the writer of the book of Hebrews is even indicating when he's writing this book that he is currently living in the last days, and that Christ even Himself has appeared in the last days. We might say then that we see a few dispensations. First of all, there's a time from Adam to Moses. And second of all, there was a time from Moses to the birth of Christ. And third, there's a time from the birth of Christ, the death of Christ, unto where we are tonight, until He comes again. And the writer says, let's read verse 1 as well, chapter 1. "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds." The writer of the Hebrews says that Jesus has come in these last days and He has spoken. Certainly then when we come back to our text in chapter 9, verse 26, we see in these last days and under the heading of the redeeming power of the Lord Jesus Christ at His appearing, we see when Christ was born a revelation of His mercy and His love. Now I want you to get with me for just a second. When Jesus was born, it is probably the greatest event in all of history. In fact, they still celebrate it today. It's an event called Christmas. It was the day that the invisible God took upon Himself human flesh and became a man. The book of John, chapter 1, reflects about that just a little bit, and we'll read verses 1, 3, and 14 in your hearing tonight. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." Verse 14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Hence we see at the birth of Jesus Christ, we see an appearance. It is noted in verse 26, He has appeared. Why was He born? He was born to die for my sins and for your sins, that He might put sin away, that we might be saved. He appeared for redeeming, to show His redeeming power. Now, need I remind you that Jesus left the splendor of glory and He came to the womb of a virgin. And when He was born, they laid Him there in a manger in Bethlehem. The angels began to announce about Him and said to the shepherds, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." There is an anointed forerunner named John the Baptist who saw Jesus coming down to the baptismal place in the river there, and he looked at Jesus who has appeared in these last days, born to die, and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. In fact, the Father Himself announced Him and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The Pharisees may not have known Him, but the demons did. The demons called Him the Holy One of God. Even nature itself knew who Jesus was when He appeared. For when the winds and the waves were boisterous and the storm appeared against them, Jesus simply stood and said, peace be still. And even the winds and the waves had to obey Him as He appeared in that hour. The only reason that Jesus came, my friend, He came to die. He came to go up Golgotha's hill to give His life a ransom. It is a revelation of God's love. He is a revelation of God's mercy. He also is a revelation of God's mission. The angel said about Him to Joseph, He shall save His people from their sins. The Scripture teaches us that the wages of sin is death. But Isaiah said that He was wounded for our transgression, that He was bruised for our iniquities. Listen, friends, tonight, sin cannot be put away, and we all sin. Every one of us comes short of the glory of God. And sin cannot be put away by words. Words won't put away sin. Deeds won't put away sin. Ceremonies won't put away sin. But according to verse number 22, the Bible says, and without the shedding of the blood, there is no remission. Therefore, friends, when He came to shed His blood, He came to put away our sin. He came, my friend, to shed His blood that our sins might be forgiven, that they might be atoned for, that they might be put away from us. Now, I'll stand tonight and say that I'm a sinful being. I'm sinful by nature. I'm a sinner at best. Yes, I am. But I'm glad Jesus looked down and saw me when I was yet in my sins and was willing to go and die in my place because He loved me and He had mercy upon me and He wanted to extend grace to me. Hallelujah. And He loved me there. And He went up to that hill that I, myself, might have my sin put away. Glory to God for that. According to the first book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 18, the Scripture tells us, for as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. I stand before you tonight and say, on the authority of the Word of God, there is no way that our sins can be forgiven or can be wiped away or overlooked unless they're put under the shed blood of Jesus Christ. According to 1 Peter chapter 2, while you're there, in verse number 24, the Bible says, who His own self bare our sins in His own body all night. That when Jesus, the innocent darling, Son of God, went up Golgotha's hill, and they nailed Him and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That upon Him there was all my sin. All the words that I've ever said. All the actions that I've ever committed. Or that I ever will commit. That'll blow your mind. All those sins were put upon our Savior. Not just my sins, but your sins. And the sins of the entire world was up on Him as He hung there on that cross. And He shed His blood, glory, hallelujah. He came and appeared upon this earth that our sins might be washed away. And if we'd bow and call His name, believing in His death, His burial, and His resurrection, that our sins can be washed away and we can be saved. Jesus appeared the first time that we might be saved. He came to redeem us. And according to the book of Hebrews, as we read in your hearing tonight, in verse number 26, the Bible says, but now once He in the end of the world hath He appeared. Now, how many times is He going to go to the cross? Just once. One time for all times. Hallelujah. And His blood was shed. Amen. And He's not coming back to a cross. No, no, no. I'm telling you what, glory, hallelujah, that blesses me to death. So we see His appearing to put away sin. Second of all, we see in verse 24 a second appearing. The Bible says in verse 24, we'll read it again, "For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us." There He is right now, at the right hand of God. He is appearing to God on our behalf. We might say that this is His representing power, or His reconciling power. Now let's just get what's going on. There is a picture here that they allude to, the writer alludes to the Old Testament tabernacle. It was divided into a couple of different places. There was out front the holy place, and behind the veil there was the Holy of Holies. In fact, Moses was instructed of God to build such a tabernacle. Are you with me? And in fact, back there in the Holy of Holies, behind the veil, there is an Ark of the Covenant put, and there was two cherubims on either side, and a mercy seat on top. And God said, "I'll meet with you between the cherubims at the mercy seat." And every year, once a year, the high priest would take the blood, and he would enter in behind the veil, and he would take that blood, and he would sprinkle it upon the mercy seat. And then after making that offering that atoned for the sins of the people for that year, he'd come back out. And next year he had to go do it again. And the next year he had to go and do it again. In fact, I believe according to Hebrews chapter 8, would you turn there with me? I want to show you something tonight. I believe that when God showed Moses how to build that tabernacle with the holy place and the Holy of Holies and the mercy seat, I believe that God showed Moses that because that's in glory. Watch here. 8:5. "Who served unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, for see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed thee in the mount." You see, God didn't just tell him how to build it. He showed him.
Amen. Right. Amen.
My grandma, she used to be real good, Brother Ken can tell you, at making dresses out of patterns. And she didn't just do it by sight. She'd take the pattern, and upon seeing the pattern, she'd begin to cut all the pieces and begin to seam it all together. I believe that God showed Moses that holy place and the Holy of Holies as they appeared in glory, and said, "Moses, I want you to build something on earth like this. Let me give you the dimensions." And God measured it and told him. "Let me tell you the materials." And God told him, and Moses went out and got it, and they built those things. Are you with me? And the high priest, God, yes, amen, God showed him. Bible's clear, showed him the pattern. Now get this. In chapter number 9, he begins to tell us about the high priest in verse 25 who entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others. And he went back there to offer that blood that their sins might be atoned for that year. Now, according to verse 24, the Bible says that Jesus didn't enter into the holy place made with hands. Well, He couldn't. When He died on the cross, and He said, "It is finished! Father, into Thy hands I commend My spirit." And He bowed His head and He gave up the ghost. The Bible says that the veil between the holy place and the holy was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. Saying, now you have access to come in. No longer was there to be a priest that would be accepted animal blood upon the mercy seat. For Christ is the Lamb of God, one time for all time, that has appeared and shed His blood that we might be saved. On the third day, Jesus got up victorious over death and over hell and over the grave. And as He's ready to ascend, Mary sees Him and she comes towards Him there, and He says, "Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, your Father."
to my God and your God. Why do you think he said, don't touch me right here? He's got the blood that he shed, and he's on his way to ascend into heaven with his own blood as our high priest. And he's going to walk, glory to hallelujah, into that holy of holies. In heaven itself. Not a place made with hands of a man. Not Moses. But in the very place that was set up by a Most High God. And he goes up into that place. And he ascends in. And I believe, according to Scripture, that on the mercy seat, he began to sprinkle his blood. Holy blood. The blood of the Most High Lamb of God. And he put that blood on the mercy seat. Hallelujah. And he says to the Father, Father, that's my blood, which was shed as a ransom for the sins of all men. And Jesus appeared in glory to present his blood. He sprinkled it there. Oh, they shouted out. In fact, when he got up on the third day, the Bible says in Matthew 27 that there were many saints that also resurrected. He put the blood on the mercy seat, hallelujah. For all we know, them saints went on right in behind him. According to Leviticus 23, I know it's getting deep. I'm not trying to get over your head. I just want to talk about him appearing. We might learn something tonight. According to Leviticus 23, verse number 9. On earth here, God had commanded that high priest to go and put blood on the mercy seat. Also, after the Passover, the Bible says in verse 9 of Leviticus 23, And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When you be come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest, and he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you on the morrow after the Sabbath. Their Sabbath was Saturday. The morrow after the Sabbath would have been Sunday, the Lord's Day, Resurrection Day.
Amen.
The Bible says that he shall wave it, and he shall offer, you shall offer that day when you wave the sheaf and he lamb without blemish of the first year for a burnt offering to the Lord. Not only when Jesus ascended up did he appear before God to put blood on the mercy seat, but he also stood there to wait, to have a wave offering, to wave a sheaf before the Father to say, this is the first fruits and there is a harvest that is to follow. Can you see him there when he appears? The angels are lined up. Here he comes. Attention. Glory, hallelujah. He's got the blood. He puts it on the mercy seat there and says our redemption has been accomplished. Then he says, Father, I hope you'll accept this wave offering for the harvest. I am the first fruits of a harvest that is to follow. We're going to be resurrected. We're going to come off this earth, amen, just like he is sitting in the glory. We're going to go right after him. And for all we know, right there in Matthew 27, when them saints arose, as lined up right behind him. When he said, Father, I hope you'll, I believe you'll accept them. And the Father said, come on in. Come on home. My son has appeared. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to get this. I want you to get this now. When he does that, Jesus puts that blood there. And then he came back to this earth. He's here 40 days and he ascended back into heaven. Are you with me? And the Bible said he sat down on the right hand of God. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 7 and in Romans chapter 8 that Jesus is who he's speaking about. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. You see, when he put that blood there, he's wanting to not only present his blood, but he's presenting you and me faultless. What? Oh yeah. You see, he brings his believers, those that are cleansed by his blood,
clothed in His righteousness, justified by His mercy and His grace. He presents us to the Father and says, Father, I believe You'll accept this as a wave offering. For all these have been washed clean. Their sins are put away in My blood. He presents us faultless. Not only does He present that to the Father, but then He says, I want to present to You their petitions. They have needs, Father. They have needs on earth. And He begins to intercede. Now, let me say this. Let me be very clear. I was talking with my wife this week about it. Been a few times, old Luke sitting right there, has got himself in what you might call a little bit of trouble. He's got his fingernails in his mouth right now thinking, am I in trouble now? I'm talking to my buddies here. Am I in trouble? And I'm telling him in times I'm ready to get well acquainted with him. If you know what I mean. And I was just getting ready to tear into his hide real good. And his mama stepped in and said, now wait a minute. You may not have all the facts here. It may not be what it looks like. And she begins to step in and intercede on that boy's behalf. And your mama's probably one of the best buddies you've ever had. Amen. Do you understand there's been a lot of times, Brother Steve, that you and me and Brother Jerry and all this whole crowd found ourselves in a wee bit of trouble with the Father. And man, justice called and said, I'm going to smite him down. I'm going to chastise him. I'm going to whoop him. And we deserved all that. Amen. We ran. Hear me? We ran and got on our knees and said, oh, Jesus, oh, Father. I've messed up again. Would You forgive me now? Your Bible says if I'd confess my sin, that You'd be faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And, oh, God, I plead the blood over it. Now, y'all have never done that, but I've done it a bunch of times. And you know what happened right there? Jesus picked up on it and He said, now, Father, I know justice calls, but if you'll look at my blood that's been presented, I want You to say, that You'll forgive him. Then we're going to let it go. We're going to consider it a matter taken care of by blood. And He washes our sins away. And then we begin to pray, oh God, while we're here. I mean, so-and-so's over yonder with a fever. So-and-so's yonder sick, Lord. They need Your power. And God, I don't have the power to heal them. Lord, I don't have the power to change anything. And Jesus picks up on that. And He looks over at the Father and says, oh, Father, and there's a burden down there. There's a need. And I know You know all about it. But look at them praying and seeking Your face. And Lord, they can hardly even pray. But let me seek Your face on their behalf. He appeared in the heaven right now for you and me. You realize that the devil himself, he came to the very throne of Almighty God over Job. And he accused him. And said, I tell you what, he fears you for naught. You let me touch him, he'll cuss you to your face. And he's still an accuser of the brethren. If he had access then, I'm telling you, he's still got access now. He'll go right up there and he'll say, hey, Father, God, that church down there don't care nothing about You. Let's put a little dissension amongst them. Let's do this. Let's do that. And ain't you glad Jesus, as the interceder, looks over to the Father and says, I don't think we're going to do that. We ain't going to give the devil power in their life. We're here to keep the devil off of them, not put him on them. And how many times has Jesus interceded when the devil was calling your name, wanting to fly into your life, and Jesus said, no, he's off limits. You only remember the times when you did get picked on. You ain't got no idea how many times Jesus has stopped it and interceded on our behalf. He appeared the first time to redeem us on this earth. When He died on the cross. He appeared that second time there, and in that other verse we read, He appeared before His Father that He might make intercession for us, that He might represent me and you to the Father. Thirdly, and we'll close in verse 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. My Bible tells me that He's coming back. And that makes me think not about redeeming power or representing power, it's returning power. He made this statement. He said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Over and over He's made that. In fact, in the book of Acts, chapter 1, you turn there with me if you want to and rub the devil's nose in it. In the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 11, as Jesus ascended, the Bible says that these angels stood there and said, which also said, "You men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up in heaven?" The disciples had seen Him go. And they said, "This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen Him go into heaven." He went into heaven to appear for you to make intercession. And you know what? He's going to appear another time. There's going to be a time when He says, "Go get the children," and He's going to appear. And after 7 years of tribulation, He's going to appear. The Bible says He's going to appear without sin. Aha, preacher. First time He came, He appeared with sin. Well, yes, true. He had my sin and your sin. It was upon Him. But the next time He comes, He's not coming for our sin. He's coming, amen, to receive us. And He made us a promise. He's going to take us on home to be with Him. It is returning power. You understand that He's not coming again to bear your sin or your sorrow or your suffering, but He's returning in glory and He's returning in holiness. Praise God for a place where death is swallowed up in victory. Thank God for a place we're going to go to when He appears the second time and receives us unto Himself. There is no more sin. There'll be no more devil to accuse us and bother us. And thank God there's a place where there's no more sickness, no more tears, hallelujah for that, no more pain, no more grief, no more worries, no cares over there, but just calling on the Lamb. I want to look one more verse and I'm done tonight. We've seen three appearances in 2 Timothy chapter number 4. You turn there with me and we'll close. Apostle Paul, he's looking death right in the face. He's done everything he needed to do. He stood true to the cause of Christ. He's been through a lot of things. He's experienced great things and experienced sorrowful things. And here he is in verse number 6 of 2 Timothy 4. He says, "For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith." He's a man that's not afraid of death. You know why? Jesus is with him. And he said, if Jesus defeated death, I'll be able to defeat death as well. Because I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And he makes this statement in verse 8. "Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day." Paul's got a crown waiting on him. Glory to God for that. See, there's a colon there. And he says, not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. I just want to confess tonight, I love His appearing. Thanks be unto God that He came the first time to bear my sin up Calvary's hill. It cost God everything He had to redeem me. And I love His appearing. I want to confess to everybody here. I want to confess to the devil if he's listening. I want to say to you, devil, I love the appearing of my Savior. Because He appeared then into heaven, and He walked right into a place not made with hands, and He put His own shed blood on the mercy seat. That said, I can be forgiven and I can be saved. And then He sat down on the right hand of God and said, I'm going to make intercession. In fact, I'm going to ever live to make intercession for Darren. Well, I appreciate it. I mean, I love His appearing in heaven for me when I don't know how to pray and I don't know just exactly the words to say and I don't know how to help that person and I'm just a physical man. I can't even get over to yonder while I'm here. Jesus said, I'll take care of it. I love His appearing and I'm looking for Him tonight to come just at any hour. Brother Ray Casper called me the other day and he said, "Oh, I'm so excited, Brother Darren." He said, "I've seen some things happening this week. I'm going to share it, Brother Ray, if you don't mind." He said, first of all, Condoleezza Rice has said that they're getting ready, maybe sometime this year, to sign a peace accord between Israel and some of those Arab states or nations. They're going to have a covenant. That's wonderful. Because the Bible says when the Antichrist comes into power, he will confirm the covenant. That covenant to be confirmed must already exist. Right now, that covenant don't exist. But it's getting ready to. Uh-oh. That's exciting. And then there was another thing that happened. I mean, the Federal Reserve, the president said, I'm going to give the Federal Reserve more power to do this and to adjust not only to our nation's economy, but to the global economy. You see, that's got to happen for the Antichrist to step into power so he can put us all on one world economy. That's happening right now. And there are other things. I mean, he shared other things with me. But can I say to you, he's ready, getting ready to appear. He's one day closer today than he was yesterday. And I love his appearing. And he said, for all of you that love his appearing, there's a crown of righteousness laid up for you, which God the righteous judge is going to give you and I. Ain't you glad you're saved tonight? Don't it feel good to have your sins all washed away under the blood? And I know when you get there, he's going to say, here's your crown of righteousness. And maybe for some of you, there'll be a soul winner's crown. And we're going to take those. And we're going to bow and say, Lord, I didn't do anything. I just sinned. All I did is call on you. And I appreciate these crowns, but I want to lay them at Jesus' feet because he deserves them all. God's going to give him a royal diadem. Put a great crown on his head and say that he's King of Kings and he's Lord of Lords and ever devil in hell, ever lost man, ever Hitler, ever Stalin, ever weakling and ever powerful one. And all the saved and redeemed alike will bow their knee and say that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I love his appearing tonight. You stand to your feet. Praise the Lord. Father, I pray God it'd be hid in our hearts. Pray God that we would learn something tonight that we could base our life on truth and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, we thank you for the appearances of your Son, for his death, for his burial and resurrection, for his ascension into glory, for his intercession right now. He's been praying this. Father, help him by the Holy Spirit to preach for them people down there. Maybe some of them don't want to hear, but I pray you'd energize him anyway and just help him to preach. Thank you for that, Lord, for appearing for me tonight. And Lord, I look for you to come. I long for you to come. And I want to know tonight, I want you to know that I believe with all my heart you're coming for us, Lord Jesus. We're one day closer to that. The advent of our Lord, the rapture of our Lord, we're closer today than we were yesterday. And we thank you for that tonight. In this prayer we made known, in Jesus' name, amen.